Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Thank you for joining us today. Hey, if it's summertime and you don't have to work because you're a teacher, lucky you, you get to hear the show. Otherwise, if you're driving to work
they,
or something.
They deserve it.
Okay? They do. They do.
But can I say some community?
Oh, it's Maria's Community Calendar, sponsored by our Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. All right, Maria, what do you
okay.
got?
Okay. Well, I just have two things. They're not yet this weekend, but just mark it on your calendars. It on Friday, July the 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the movies in Imperial. They're going to do a premiere party of the Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2. And it's actually, they have a lot of things going on. At 5:30, there's cocktails, a Harry Potter gift shop costume contest. And at 7 o'clock, they have the movie premiere. Tickets are $20. They have the contest, first prize, you dressed up as your favorite character. First prize is $100. Second is $50. And third prize gets two tickets to the movies. The tickets are limited. So there's going to be two showings. There's only 130 seats, and it's all for just the 21 and over. And this is brought to you by Imperial County Film Commission. So not little kids, not any teenagers, but it's for 21 and over, since they have the cocktails involved. So,
did you see just recently in the news, Daniel Radcliffe came out, the guy who actually plays Harry Potter, came out and said, I had a tremendous drinking problem about a movie and a half ago. And said he was just by God's good graces, he wasn't all over the National Enquirer or some other sort of thing because of doing odd things while he was drinking.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, you can skip the 5:30 cocktails and just go to the 7 o'clock movie.
Yeah.
And go dressed up.
As Daniel would today.
Yes. And also, Central Union High School is inviting you to a 1970s get-together. That's class of 1970 to 1979 at the Casa de IV Expo, Casa de Mañana. It's going to be held October the 8th, 2011 at 6 p.m. to midnight. Tickets are available. If you need more information, go to their website at CUHS1970S.com. So that's CUHS1970S.com.
Nice. I graduated in 79. Can I go?
No, you're not from Central. Sorry.
It's always something, isn't it?
You're from Michigan, so sorry.
Okay.
No outsiders. Just support Spartans.
Alrighty. Let's do a show. We're here today with Billie Jo Achura, and she's the Public Service and Community Relations Manager, more or less. What's your title?
Patient Relations and Community Service Manager.
I knew it was something. Patient Relations and Community Services Manager. For El Centro Regional Medical Center?
For El Centro Regional Medical Center.
Nice. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for having us.
Well, good. Oh, and we're going to talk today about advanced directives, which is everybody's not most favorite topic, but kind of an important topic.
It's a very important topic. And it is difficult for people to take a look at an advanced directive and understand that it is your voice when you can't speak for yourself. People often attach something negative to it that, oh my gosh, this I'm planning for my death, when in fact it's just a voice to allow you to speak for yourself.
So basically, just let's start out with what exactly is an advanced directive? It is this kind of on paper arrangement of what happens to you if you're not able to make your own decisions or give voice to your opinion about you?
That's correct. It came about in July of 2000. Our California law consolidated an advanced directive law to make it easier for individuals to let their preferences be known, whether they're in written form or in oral form, because there is also an ability for someone to have an oral advanced directive.
Nice. Like, that's available on iTunes or something, right?
No. That would be if they were inside the hospital and they did indeed not have an advance directive and they met the criteria of being able to verbally speak their wishes, those could be used as an oral.
Certain risk involved there because
you don't know if
cat got your tongue and exactly. You may have a problem, huh?
Right. And there are other things that we have to look at from cognitive standpoints as well. So we always like to look for the written advance directive. And whether you realize it or not, when you come into the hospital, mm-hmm. whether you're seen by someone in the emergency room, if you're coming in for an outpatient type task, we always ask on the papers when you're going through registration if you have an advance directive on file. And if the patient responds no, we always ask if they would be interested in acquiring an advance directive.
That was part of the law in 2000 that became a...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
How old do you have to be to do an advance directive?
You must be 18 years of age or older, since it is a legal form that is given to your physician as well as a copy kept at the hospital.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to the hospital, and they ask you, you know, do you have one or would you like one? And you say, oh, why am I going to need one? Aren't you guys just fixing my ingrown toenail or something? But
right.
It's important.
It's very important because when people do come into, let's say, an emergency room setting, generally they're very sick. The anxiety level is very high. Loved ones are extremely concerned, and then all of these questions start coming to the individual. And most of the time at that point, they're not in that state of mind to even discuss what an advance directive is. Hence the name advance directive, leading a person to say prior to an event, it would be in your best benefit to make your wishes known so that those who love you know exactly how and what your concerns and needs will be when you can't speak for yourself.
But there's a lot of people that just refuse to even go there.
Yes.
Just even don't even, like Scott said, well, no, I'm coming for a, what did you say, ingrown toenail?
Yeah.
But they just don't. So what does your organization, what does the El Centro Regional do to make it a little bit more,
user friendly.
What we are doing, our reaching out to the community is very clear. One of our goals is to make sure we go to the service groups that are here in the local area and discuss the importance of advance directives. Number one, being invited here to your Let's Talk About It show is another way for us to let the community know and understand advance directives are nothing to fear. They're very clear, very concise. They have great explanations in front of them. We will gladly provide you with an advance directive at any time when you just walk into the hospital to central registration and ask for one. We will gladly give them to you. They are in English and in Spanish. You can read through them, sit down with your loved ones, and come up with these decisions collectively.
337-8874 is the phone number. You're listening to Let's Talk About It on KUVO-FM. And we're here with Billy Joe Achura. And if you want to call right now and do an advance directive over the phone... No.
Yeah, that won't quite work.
No. They have to see face-to-face.
So what are, you know, you mentioned the benefits of having an advance directive. As for anyone who might, you know, have to make this decision anytime soon, what are the benefits?
Let's just use an example. If you or I, on our way to work, got in a car accident that didn't kill us, but rendered us unconscious.
But only made us stronger. Okay.
Yeah. And we were taken to any hospital. If it progressed to a situation where I was having to be put on life support, and it looked as though my death was inevitable...
Mm-hmm.
Loved ones would be faced with a decision of...
No, my death is inevitable, so what do we, as far as I know...
Well, everybody.
Everyone.
So what do we mean
it's
by
how
that?
You go. You make the decision of how you're going to go.
Yeah, we're speaking about in the context of you're out on an everyday driving adventure, going to San Diego.
Right,
I'm using
that
as an example. And you get in a car accident, you're unconscious.
Yes.
And that is leading...
And you ain't going to come back to consciousness.
There could be a probability of that, but... There could be a probability that you are coming back into consciousness. So if you had an advance directive that clearly said, this is how I want to...
Please try everything that you can to keep me alive.
Or if it is inevitable that I'm going to pass, do not prolong my death. But let's say they did use keep everything going as long as you possibly could in the advance directive, as that is an option. And then all of a sudden you start becoming better and you can now start making decisions on your own. So it works both ways. The advance directive kicks in for you when you need it. And then if you become able to make those decisions for yourself at a later date, it can be revoked.
Because there's some people that think that if they don't have the quality of life that they used to have, it's not, that's it, you know. But there's some people that, you know, as long as I'm breathing, keep me alive. I'm alive.
That's correct.
So it goes, like, there's many, how many people see their way of how they should live their life.
I got a question. Now I'm curious. So what does the voting booth say on this one? I mean, you may have a chance to go back and kind of look at your cumulative advanced directives on this. How many say keep it going and how many say let it go?
I do not have that data. Those are complete.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be very interesting. What is really important in the advance directive is you get to make a decision as to who will be your agent. Who is going to speak for you when you can't speak for yourself? You can have an alternate agent. Because what if you and I, if you were my agent and we were traveling and we both got in a car accident that rendered us impaired and not able to make decisions, and you were my agent, the alternate agent would kick in at that time.
So like the first runner-up in Miss America?
Sort of.
Well, the whole thing is that with doing an advance directive, it's your loved ones, the surviving, your relatives. You know, there's no advance directive, relatives or your loved one, your spouse or your kids end up making a decision. And sometimes different relatives have different opinions on what to do with you.
Are there laws that say who gets to pick, you know, in some sort of legalistic order if you didn't have one?
If you don't have an advance directive, the medical physicians will work directly with the next of kin person.
So it's like spouse first or parents first, and then
correct. Generally
or siblings.
Speaking.
And what if you have a siblings and there's.
And that's exactly what we're talking about.
So
if you have five siblings.
Spouse trumps siblings, though, right?
Assuming you're still married, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
But if you're not, if your spouse passed away and you're by yourself and you have five kids.
Ooh, jump ball.
Well, and not only that, what if you have a spouse, but the spouse is really not able themselves to make a decision? Mm-hmm. Let's say the spouse is very elderly or not of sound mind, then it goes down to that sibling line. And then, again, you will have those, you could have those differing opinions.
Yeah.
That causes a lot of friction in an already stressful
situation.
So
eventually the person making the life or death decision about you is that person who felt a little bit slighted at the Christmas party 23 years ago and never forgot it, and they've been just waiting for
that
chance.
No, that doesn't happen, Scott. No.
Also, in an advance directive, there is instructions for not just your agent, but for end-of-life decisions, like we had talked about earlier, the choice of not to prolong life or the choice to prolong life, whether or not you want relief from pain, if you want to be fed on a feeding tube, if you choose to donate your organs at the time of death. It names your primary physician, and you can have it either notarized or it can be witnessed by two witnesses. If you do or are interested in an advance directive, again, we do have them available for you at El Centro Regional. You can come to the Central Registration Desk. They're available in numerous areas online, one being caringinformation.org. You can just print it out. If you do need them notarized, you can, again, come into El Centro Regional, ask for myself, Billy Joe, and we will get that notarized for you for free.
Is that a requirement for validity? Or?
It is not. It can either be witnessed by two witnesses, or you can have a notary public to notarize it for you. And it's very important that you also let your loved ones know that you have initiated an advance directive. So maybe your agent, you would want to make a copy and give it to your agent, whoever that person would be. You'd want to make a copy and give it to your primary care physician, because they too will be involved in making the decision as to whether or not, yes, this person indeed is not capable right now of making good decisions or is incapable of making any decisions. So we're going to now go over to the advance directive and see what instructions they left for us.
How does it work right here, it's a little bit more simpler, but in a big city, if let's say you're traveling to LA or cross country and something happens to you and you have an advance directive here at El Centro Regional, how do they get that information over there, or how does that work?
Well, we do have on the back of the advance directive wallet cards that you can cut out and keep in your wallet. We often encourage people, we do have a lot of snowbirds that visit us here in in that time frame, and they bring theirs with them if they have one. So, and their loved ones know that they have one. So if there's an accident, the next who to contact in case of an emergency will know that they have one. And we will use that in communication with their primary care.
Do we tend to target elderly people more for this, or is
not at all?
Accidents can happen.
No, this is actually a law in California that this has to be offered to anyone,
any adult,
anyone over the age of 18.
Yeah, who may or may not be an adult. Let's face it, 18-year-olds.
Absolutely.
Okay. Has the religious community weighed in on advanced directives? I mean, wouldn't that be like a nice advocate to have in terms of you know, somebody's religious leader, person, pastor, or reverend, whatever, stepping in and saying, hey, you know, this is okay. It's endorsed by God or something.
Some people might feel more confident about making that decision if they had that guidance, but we don't have any data.
Have you noticed it just in passing? That's kind of poor choice of words. Have you noticed that it's something that people either do or don't do because of religious reasons?
I have not noticed any of that. But certainly this would also assist those that have religious beliefs that might not be collective with a typical situation if someone was brought to an emergency room, because I do believe that some religions, you know, do not agree with blood transfusions, let's say, for example. So this would actually become a benefit for them at that point in time.
Okay, so if you did have certain procedures that you needed followed because of your spiritual beliefs, an advanced directive could help you manage
that. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. 337-8874 is the phone number if you have any questions for Billy Joe about advanced directives.
Well, I mean, having an advance directive is so beneficial. Just the burden of a family member making the decision, the discord that might happen between family members, and we've seen cases on TV that, you know, a loved one is in a coma and the spouse and the parents are fighting. One is to end life, the other one is fighting to keep them alive, and that's just, and it prolongs it. It's just can drag on for many years.
Rather than having to result to the my opinion of what your decisions for life is this because you said this to me, and then the parent says, well, that's not what they said to me, and then the court battle begins and ensues again. What a great tool that this advance directive will be.
Here it is.
To have clarity.
When you have it in writing, it creates the clarity. There's no more presumption of what you're required.
It's clear.
Are.
It's on paper.
Very
it's
clear.
Been notarized or witnessed, and that's what
okay,
it is.
Okay, so there's no reason in the whole wide world why anybody wouldn't want to do this, yet some people don't. Why?
Oftentimes, it's a cultural issue, and many people, again, associate this with, well, I'm young. I'm not going to die anytime soon. This isn't even about death. It is about your wishes while you're alive and how to care for you. So
we lump it into that category of making funeral arrangements or something?
Oftentimes people look at it that way. They really do. And indeed, it has nothing more to the complete opposite. This is about health care and your decisions in health care. What are your wishes? Do you want to be put on life support? Do you want a feeding tube inserted? Do you want to donate your organs? You know, this is how you speak for yourself when you can't. And it has nothing to do with burial or funeral. It has to do with how do you want to be cared for in a situation where you can't speak for yourself medically. It's like a power of attorney for health care.
Yeah. Right.
Living will.
And you know what's funny is a lot of people will designate a power of attorney agent for other things, such as I'm going out of the country and you can be my power of attorney because I'm in the midst of selling my home. And they make it a specific power of attorney for just that one issue for a certain period of time. And again, this is no different. It's actually more important than that. It's about your health care.
Is there, might there be an economic advantage to doing an advance directive?
Yes. Well,
what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, so let's just throw me into the example pile here, because I'm not really worried about this ever happening to me. I don't believe in that.
Never say never.
So, well, right, but I'm not making it more or less probable by talking about it. Let's just say I'm in this vegetative state, and either it's not clear or I've put some energy out there that I want to be kept going as long as humanly possible or whatever. I'm racking up some serious bills, too, at the same time. No? I mean, it's not free to keep me alive, right?
I don't know of any health care that's free in today's time.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, one of the things that I may be concerned about is that I don't leave my family destitute financially. I could do that pretty quickly in some sort of vegetative state, in some sort of large hospital setting.
Certainly with the way that healthcare is going and health insurance companies are creating caps and ceilings on that are going to say, well, we're going to pay up to this amount, and then after that...
Well, yeah, even if your insurance is paying 90% mm-hmm, of something, that 10% is going to start click, 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 click.
Absolutely correct.
And it's not like I'm in Vegas having a really good time. I'm just kind of laying there in a vegetative state.
Correct. You're going to need 24/7 care.
Is there at the hospital, they really can't say whether somebody's going to come back, can they? I mean, is that part of the difficulty with this?
I'm not a clinician. I'm
right.
not a physician.
Right.
Again, I am a patient relations and community relations manager. But in healthcare, as we see it, I don't believe any physician out there practicing can walk into a room and just by looking at you say, oh, you have an expiration date, which you don't.
Okay.
But they clearly have, you know, a standard set of probables that says you either are going to remain in this state or there's a probable that you might be able to come out of that state. So, yes, there are measurement tools where they can check.
Is that one of the things that makes this a difficult decision because of the probables and the degree of uncertainty?
Makes advanced directives
yes.
difficult?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a very open question.
Kind of individually,
it's
huh?
Very personalized. Yeah. This is very personalized. There are many, many people, and we see it every day in healthcare, that they very much struggle with that end-of-life decision. And it weighs very heavily on some, and they feel guilty. What if I'm not making the right decision? Maybe I should be. Maybe they wanted this. Maybe they wanted that. But if I'm the one that has to make the decision to not provide life support, am I responsible for the death of this individual? And none of us want that for our loved ones.
Yeah.
They're already in a high anxiety, high stress situation just watching their loved one in that
suffer.
State.
And then you mix it up with the cultural, religious.
Correct.
Everything.
It's just, it makes total common sense. It's free. It's very explanatory. You don't have to do it in a bullseye moment. You can go. There are multiple questions that have answers for you on the fact sheets, and it helps guide you to those very simple questions that are inside the advanced directive.
Mm. I'm looking
okay.
it over right now.
Did you fill one out and turn it in?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's just that... You never know. I mean, accidents happen all the time, and I mean, I've talked to my husband, and he knows exactly what I would want, but it'd be nice to put it on paper.
Yeah, because he could. Like,
I know exactly
change his
what
mind
he wants to.
You're out of the room, right?
Yeah, and I know exactly what he wants to, and just to put it on paper, make it clear for everyone that this was not my decision to make, is that it was his decision to make.
And that's exactly what we're focusing on. It's always about the patient. It's always about the patient. This is why we want the patient, before they mm-hmm. become a patient, to let us know what their wishes are. And it takes a lot of stress and burden off of the loved ones. It is concise to, this is what I wanted, respect my wishes. And when it's all said and done, people can rest at ease that they made the right decision because it wasn't even theirs. It was the patient's decision.
I think this is one of the decisions that, you know, it's important to have. It's so much, it's easy to do, but a lot of people just don't do it.
Yeah, and it's not like life insurance. I mean, they can't deny you.
No.
Once you've turned in your paper, it's done.
Well, it's the same as life insurance. A lot of people, it's good to have life insurance. Do a lot of people have life insurance? A lot of them don't because they don't see that, well, nothing's going to happen to me. Well,
and you know, the other thing of this is we often see in healthcare when someone is in the hospital and friction begins between loved ones over decisions, then they want an advance directive to be done. And that's not the time. We cannot allow an advance directive to be done when someone is under heavy sedation, when they can't communicate orally what those wishes are. I mean, if they're capable of writing it out and they are in a cognitive state as determined by a physician and not under a drug-induced coma or something of that age, then that, since they can go ahead and do
because
it.
Because it would be subject to legal challenge at that point,
well,
right?
Absolutely. Exactly, absolutely. Yeah. It would be like, you know,
it's like a will.
We want this
being
done
now. Being a sound
now,
mind and body, here's my choice.
Yeah, we want this done now. And many times it's not, we're not able at that point because it's too late. Because there are criterias. I mean, they have to be able to understand what they are signing and that it is indeed their wishes. It can't be Susie Q saying, can you come up and notarize this? My dad signed it. I swear he did.
Well, Susie and her brother signed it as witnesses, huh?
Yeah. Or, you know, the dad's under sedation or unconscious.
And that's oftentimes when people want to look into that.
You know, one of the tricks here may be that to do, you know, clearly it's kind of cool that this would be between the individual and their own choice in kind of a healthcare scene. But I think one of the problems is you kind of have to talk it over with your family, and that may be the real kind of like awkward point, mm-hmm. you know, like sex with teenagers and, you know, all of those big awkward points where, you know, how do you sit down and bring up this subject?
And they're actually written in that same frame. For you to sit down and have those discussions with your families. There's a lot of frequently asked questions that are in the front of the advance directives, whether they're the ones you get from the hospital or the ones that you get offline. Again, those are free. You don't have to come into the hospital and pay for us to hand this to you. They're available in English and Spanish with clear instructions on how to complete them that explain the questions are being asked, the notarization is not mandatory. You can have two witnesses do it, and then all you do is make a copy for your physician, give a copy to your agent, and when you're asked the question the next time you come in the hospital, do you have an advance directive, you'll be able to answer yes. The next question will be, do you have one on file at the hospital? And if you do or don't, you can bring one in at that time.
What about, you know, we only have a couple of minutes, what about minors? There's very, very mature, intelligent, responsible 16, 17-year-olds that have, you know, maybe going through a terrible or just can make capable decisions. They're still minors.
Unfortunately, the law clearly states that you must be 18 years of age or older. If you have a person
emancipated,
who is an emancipated person with court documents mm-hmm. would clearly put them in that situation. And those are generally very close
How
to
How about somebody underage who marries?
18 years of age or older.
Okay.
Mom.
And truly, we do look to the parents at that point in time because that's what parents do. They make the best decisions possible for their children.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. So, go to the hospital. They ask you if you have an advance directive. You say typically no, huh?
Correct.
How many people? You know, I was just thinking that for people who pride themselves on managing their lives, and staying organized within any standard deviation of normal, there's really no excuse, is there?
Absolutely. And this should be looked at as a tool that is, you know, forward thinking, planning ahead.
Or it's a management issue as much as anything.
We plan for retirement. We plan for vacations.
We, French for yes. I mean, not everybody plans stuff
we
like
plan
this. Some stuff happens to people.
Children. We do all kinds of planning throughout our life. And one of the number one most overlooked is this advance directive because it just has that
Could it
stigma.
Be that, or could it be that, you know what, yeah, well, not right now. I'll do it later. Anyway, it's not going to happen. You know, I've still got time. Yeah, I still got time.
It's not April 15th yet.
And again, we're not trying to look at this as I have time because I'm not going to die yet.
Yeah, you don't want to be on the edge here.
Yeah, we never look at an advance directive as something that's pertaining to death. Mm-hmm. We look at it as something that's pertaining to, you might get sick tomorrow. You might be in an accident tomorrow. Age does not protect you from those issues.
It is a life management issue. So if you are alive, then you technically qualify to get it done.
Please get it done. When you're 18 years or older, it's about your life. Get an advance directive. And I would say take a look at it every 5 years because we all change, you know, and our decisions change. So take a look at it every 5 years, every 2 years, every year, whatever is convenient for you, and see if those are still your wishes. And again, like you said, your agent that you designate at that time might no longer be someone that you want to be your agent. So you have to also remember that if that person is not going to be your best choice, you need to update the advance directive. And all it does is you walk in, get another one, and start all over, and the date will trump the other one.
Okay.
So if you have one dated in 2007 that needs to be updated today in 2011, the 2011 version will trump the 2007.
I am totally taking you off of my advance directive. That's it, mister.
You're no longer my agent. You're being replaced.
I'm imagining that doesn't have a lot of threat value.
But you can see the importance of this. And from El Centro Regional's point of view, we are going to go out to all of the service groups here in our community because it's very important. When you give people information and you educate them, they are much more capable of making good decisions. And that's our goal at El Centro Regional. We will be visiting service groups in the area, discussing the importance of advance directives, letting them know where they can pick one up and what's required for it to become a, quote, legal document. And that's our goal, is to go out in our community and let them know what we can do for them to help them better plan. And
I'm convinced.
We appreciate you giving us
this opportunity. You gave me one of these things this morning, and I'm going to walk away with it and take it home. And
fill it out.
Sure.
Why not? Cut out your cards.
Why not?
Put one in your wallet.
And identify. I think I'm going to identify Johnny Depp as my decision maker. And Johnny, like, you'll have to contact him, first of all, and then he'll be like, who, what? Talk to my publicist.
Brad Pitt. And these are in Spanish?
We have them in English and Spanish.
Okay. And probably they're also for other people that have other languages.
Too. In our area, because those are the two primary languages, yes. But if you were in a more metropolitan area like San Diego.
More metropolitan than the Imperial Valley? Come on.
If you had multiple languages, Vietnamese, Chinese, Russian, they're available in multiple languages.
Oh, wow. I'm betting the online resource, could you give that out one more time? Because I'm betting they have access to any link.
There are multiple. If you just typed in your Google search engine, California Advanced Directives, and that's very important because each state's laws differ. That doesn't mean that if you're from Wyoming and you're visiting California, that your Wyoming Advanced Directive is not going to be valid. I'm just saying if you're a resident of California, you want to look up California Advanced Directives under your Google search engine, multiple sites will come up that have free advance directives that are very easy to complete.
Mm-hmm.
They have great frequently asked questions on there that will answer a lot of questions that people have. Well, what about this? What about that? So there's multiple websites that you can go to. Very soon, El Centro Regional will be having a link on our website for an advance directive, and you can click on the link when you go to ecrmc.org. You'll be able to click on the link and print one out there as well. But
now,
that is not yet up and in place.
If somebody comes in, say, this week to El Centro Regional and you ask them the advance directive question and they say, yeah, you know, I'm going to fill one of those out because I heard about it on KUBO and Let's Talk About It. Could they get like 10% off their medical bill or something? Would that be like an introductory offer?
No, but they'll definitely get their advance directive for free.
Yes.
Okay, free advance directives. You heard it here. If you tell them you heard it on Let's Talk About It, it's free. No charge.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to...
Or it's free all the time.
Free all the time.
You can go on the website.
If people want to know more or if they have a service organization that they want you to come talk to, let's throw out your contact information one more time.
That would be great. Any service organizations that are interested in having us come out and talk to them and their attendees about advanced directives can contact me at El Centro Regional. My name is Billy Joe Achura. I'm the only Billy Joe there. It won't be hard to find me. And my phone number is area code 760-235- 4095, and I will gladly come out and speak to the organization. I will meet them inside the hospital and provide them with copies of advance directives that are blank for them to fill out, whatever they need. We really want to get that information out there, and we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to reach out to our community.
Well, thank you for coming aboard today.
You made us think a lot.
Yeah, we're converted.
I'm going to have to stop by and get a couple of packets for all my family.
Yeah, they're going to smile when they see us coming, aren't they? Thanks, Billy Joe.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Next week, Maya, do you have the calendar? No.
Next week, there will be a show. It's Smart Recovery, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it is.
And if you want to know what Smart Recovery is, preview, go look it up online, Google it, as Billy Joe was suggesting, Smart Recovery, and join us and make sure and call in and give some comments. All right? Thank you so much for listening. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingüe, Calexico, Mexicali.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingüe, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.